Hello, my name is Lawrence Wilson. Welcome to a study through the book of Hebrews. As we look at the last part of chapter 12 today, we are coming to what could be considered the climax of the book, the climax of this author's argument to his readers about pursuing Jesus Christ no matter the cost, no matter what struggles you are facing. We begin to see in Hebrews 12, verse 18, all of these things, they've been encouraged to pursue Jesus in spite of all difficulties. Verse 18, for you have not come. And then he proceeds to list several things that he says, when you come to Jesus, this is not what you come to. You have not come, he says, to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest. Right? So now we're going to begin to see him paint a picture of when Israel first approached Mount Sinai, where God met with them and gave them the law and formed his covenant with them. This is what they came to. This is what they experienced. But he said, this is not what we are coming to, right? What may be touched, something tangible, something physical, this blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest. If you go back and look in Exodus chapter 19 and 20, this is where you see this picture of God descending on Mount Sinai and darkness and fire and this storm that he's talking about, right? We have not come to that. We have not come, verse 19, to the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. Right, God displayed all of his glory there on Mount Sinai. This fire, this smoke, this tempest, the sound of the trumpet that it says is there, the voice that makes the people, they literally told Moses, we can't hear God speak directly to us. We will die. You go up there and listen to him. But we don't want to hear this. They were so afraid of the voice, right? This appearance of God on Mount Sinai was intended to invoke fear in their hearts because it was intended to clearly show them that God is all-powerful and holy and that they were not. But we have not come to that. Verse 20, he said, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. Right? So a part of this, they had said, nobody can come and touch this mountain while God has descended on it. Not even one of your animals. Otherwise, it is to be stoned. It is to be killed. Even Moses, it says here, was afraid. Even when the people told him, go up there and talk to God, even Moses was saying, I'm afraid to go up there, right? And he'd already met with God the burning bush. And he said, I'm afraid to go directly into God's presence here. But we have not come to that. Verse 22, but you have come. So what have we come to? We have not come to this fearful, almighty God looking down on us, intending to invoke fear in our hearts. We have not come to that. But what have we come to? You have come to Mount Zion, which is a term, as it refers to the highest mountain in Jerusalem. It's a term that's used all throughout the Bible to refer to God's kingdom, God's perfect peace here on earth. We have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God. We talked about earlier in Hebrews 11 how Abraham and Isaac were looking for the city that has been built and designed by God. He says, that's what you have come to. The city of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem. Right? So Mount Zion on earth was in Jerusalem. It was God's place of prosperity for the Jews at that point in time. But it's seen as a picture in the Bible of the heavenly Jerusalem, right? The true Mount Zion, the true priest that God wants to bring. We have come to innumerable angels in festal gathering, right? It's time to celebrate. It's time to praise. It's not a picture of fear and trembling before the Almighty God. It's a picture of celebration. You have come to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, right? All of these people who have been now made perfect because of what Christ has done. They are now, we have this picture of an assembly coming to God in heaven to worship God, right? We looked at the end of Hebrews 11, All these died in faith, not having received the promise, not having been made perfect. But now we see an assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven. We have come to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. This is where we are coming to, through Jesus, to this great positive festal gathering, as it says here, this celebratory attitude rather than fear. And in verse 24 it says, and we have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Speaking of his sacrifice that he brought to God, a blood sacrifice. But Christ's sacrifice is the only sacrifice that actually affects anyone's salvation. Let's let that sink in. We have not come as the people of old did to this fearful needing to quake and be worried that we were going to be destroyed because of our sins by God. But we have come to celebrate with God, to celebrate Jesus, who is the one that makes it possible that we can approach God without that fear, because he has cleansed us from our sins. And so the author of Hebrews makes one last appeal about this turning back, this falling away from Christ in verse 25. Because of all of this, because these are the things that we have come to, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. Remember the beginning of the book of Hebrews? God spoke in the old times, right, through the prophets, but now he is speaking through his son, right? That's who is speaking. When he says, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. God is speaking to us. Do not refuse him. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, if the people on earth, you know, Moses and the other prophets were trying to speak to them, and they refused to listen to them, and they did not escape judgment because they refused to listen to them, then much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. So now we see the author of Hebrews trying to tell the people, look, it's one thing when you reject the words of a person who's trying to tell you to have faith in God. And those people that we see in the Old Testament that rejected the word of Moses, that rejected the word of the prophets, they died. They were destroyed. They received the judgment, the punishment of God coming on them and on their land and on their people. Then we should not think that anybody in this New Testament period will escape when God is warning directly from heaven. Verse 26, at that time, his voice shook the earth, right? In the Old Testament with Mount Sinai, God's voice was shaking the earth. But now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. That's a prophecy that came from Haggai, right? And God says, next time, one more time, I'm going to shake not just the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, the things that have been made. Meaning, the earth is going to be replaced. The earth is going to be removed from the equation. The physical realm is not going to, it's going to be shaken up. It's not going to be how it still is. In order that the things that cannot be shaken, the eternal things, may remain. So again, he gives this appeal one last time. Any of you that are holding back and wanting to pull away from Jesus Christ, he says, you need to take this very seriously and consider. Do not refuse God when he's speaking and offering you the chance of salvation. Because those on earth who received his word through his messengers, they did not escape judgment. Neither will you. But of course, for those of us who are believers, he says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We have our eternal life as a guarantee, those of us who have faith in Christ. So let us be grateful that we don't come to the fearful appearance of God as the people in Israel at Mount Sinai came to God. But we come to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Sometimes in Christian circles, we lose this aspect of reverence and awe because we don't consider, perhaps, what it is, a blessing it is, to be able to come to God in heaven, to be able to come to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to become to the angels in festal gathering, instead of being come to the fire and the darkness and the tempest, right? We need to come with God and bring acceptable worship with reverence and awe at the fact that he would consider us his children, at the fact that he would send Christ to die in our place, at the fact that he is all powerful. For as he says, our God is a consuming fire. These are words that for the unbeliever should invoke fear, just like that fire that fell on Mount Sinai and the people were afraid. This should cause the unbelievers to fear, but it should cause those of us who are believers to rejoice. Our God is a consuming fire. He will vanquish all of his enemies. He will punish all the unbelievers. He will do what is right and just and establish his holy kingdom that will live forever. And no longer will we have to be surrounded by evil in his eternal, unshakable, unstoppable kingdom that we get to be a part of because of Jesus, not because of what we can do. We get to step out of the old way of doing things and step into a better way. And that is what the author wanted his readers to do in the first century. Stop trying to turn around and go back to the old way. Continue to push forward into the better way that comes through Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that something said ministered to your heart. And I hope that you share it with those around you. Thank you, and God bless.